Harry saw Hermione checking that she still had the beaded bag, and hurriedly thrust his own hand under his jacket to make sure he had not lost the invisibility cloak. Then he turned to see Bogrod shaking his head in bewilderment. The thief's downfall seemed to have lifted the imperious curse.
"We need him," said Griphook.
"We cannot enter the vault without a Gringotts goblin, and we need the clankers."
"Imperio," Harry said again. His voice echoed through the stone passage as he felt again the sense of heady control that flowed from brain to wand. Bogrod submitted once more to his will, his befuddled expression changing to one of polite indifference as Ron hurried to pick up the leather bag of metal tools.
"Harry, I think I can hear people coming," said Hermione, and she pointed Bellatrix's wand at the waterfall and cried, "Protego!"
They saw the shield charm break the flow of enchanted water as it flew up the passageway.
"Good thinking," said Harry. "Lead the way, Griphook."
"How are we going to get out again?"
Ron asked, as they hurried on foot into the darkness after the goblin, Bogrod panting in their wake like an old dog. "Let's worry about that when we have to," said Harry. He was trying to listen. He thought he could hear something clanking and moving around nearby. "Griphook, how much farther?"
"Not far, Harry Potter, not far."
And they turned a corner and saw the thing for which Harry had been prepared, but which still brought all of them to a halt. A gigantic dragon was tethered to the ground in front of them, barring access to four or five of the deepest vaults in the place. The beast's scales had turned pale and flaky during its long incarceration under the ground. Its eyes were milkily pink. Both rear legs bore heavy cuffs, from which chains led to enormous pegs driven deep into the rocky floor. Its great spiked wings, folded close to its body, would have filled the chamber if it spread them. And when it turned its ugly head toward them, it roared with a noise that made the rock tremble, opened its mouth, and spat a jet of fire that sent them running back up the passageway.
"It is partially blind," panted Griphook, "but even more savage for that. However, we have the means to control it. It has learned what to expect when the clankers come. Give them to me."
Ron passed the bag to Griphook, and the goblin pulled out a number of small metal instruments that, when shaken, made a loud ringing noise like miniature hammers on anvils. Griphook handed them out. Bogrod accepted his meekly.
"You know what to do,"
Griphook told Harry, Ron and Hermione.
"It will expect pain when it hears the noise. It will retreat, and Bogrod must place his palm upon the door of the vault."
They advanced around the corner again, shaking the clankers, and the noise echoed off the rocky walls, grossly magnified so that the inside of Harry's skull seemed to vibrate with the din. The dragon let out another hoarse roar, then retreated. Harry could see it trembling, and as they drew nearer, he saw the scars made by vicious slashes across its face, and guessed that it had been taught to fear hot swords when it heard the sound of the clankers.
"Make him press his hand to the door,"
Griphook urged Harry, who turned his wand again upon Bogrod. The old goblin obeyed, pressing his palm to the wood, and the door of the vault melted away to reveal a cave-like opening, crammed from floor to ceiling with golden coins and goblets, silver armor, the skins of strange creatures, some with long spines, others with drooping wings, potions in jeweled flasks, and a skull still wearing a crown.
"Search fast," said Harry, as they all hurried inside the vault.
He had described Hufflepuff's cup to Ron and Hermione, but if it was the other unknown Horcrux that resided in this vault, he did not know what it looked like.